Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Bloomberg Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can also hear market updates on demand? Simply tap on Bloomberg Market Minutes. The reports are updated every half hour. If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Stephen Roach with us, and what's the why here? It's real simple. A synthesis of decades of experience in Asia. Here's his book, The Next Asia. Still fresh, still wonderful, a compendium of his many notes. It will get the brain in gear. I've been in that hotel on the cover. That's in Shanghai, the Grand Hyatt Hotel. It's a gajillion stories. But also Stephen Roach with his sharp criticism of our central banks, including the European Central Bank. Good morning, sir.
Tom, good to see you.
You have been out front on the debate over asset bubbles. These people at the EU summit, away from the photo op, what is the asset bubble they have to focus on right now?
Well, you know, they gave Europe a convergence bubble. All you needed to do if you were Greece or Portugal, Spain or Italy, you didn't have to focus on the underlying fundamentals of your economy, Tom. You just had to sign up for the euro. And your rates flew down to German levels, and they stayed there.
They got a free ride.
They stayed there from 2000 to 2007 or 8, even though they did not fix their economies. Free ride. And by the way, Germany got a free ride by then exporting things to the peripheral economies that they couldn't have afforded to buy if they hadn't been given German interest rates. So this was a Ponzi scheme.
Okay, it's a Ponzi scheme. We see here in the newspaper today, where is it here? Peter Madoff. Madoff Brothers sets plea deal in Ponzi case. They're all
different.
Over the place.
It's a little different.
But I get the idea here.
They manufactured growth through financial engineering. That's what Europe did. And so now that's coming out of the system. Europe's in a recession.
Let's bring this all together. We've got J.P. Morgan. We've got the tragedy of the Madoff affair. Financial engineering, with your years at Morgan Stanley, can we get to a point where it's a more constructive financial engineering, or are we just setting up where 5 or 10 years from now, history's going to repeat itself?
Well, I think you need to make the distinction between financial engineering, which is sort of creating an artificial or false prosperity out of things you don't really understand, and true financial innovation. And I think that was one of the big failures of former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan. He thought that all financial engineering was innovation. So he looked the other way in the U.S., and he urged other central bankers sitting at similar tables to do the same. That was a huge mistake.
Right.
And I wish you would talk to him more about that when you interview him all the time, as you do, Tom.
I didn't do a good job. I thought I was pretty harsh on him.
No, I think you've got to be a lot tougher, Tom. You really do. I mean, you're getting there. You're warming up.
Give me a major misconduct. I want a major misconduct right now. Let's look at Steve Roach's Project Syndicate. There it is, major misconduct. Bring it up here. Project Syndicate, the great American mirage. If you don't read Project Syndicate, you're missing something. It's a great set of smart people, short, sharp, essays. In an era of globalization, there are no innocent bystanders. There are no oases of prosperity in the face of yet another major shock in the global economy. America's growth mirage is an important case in point. We're affected by this idiocy in Europe, aren't we?
Sure, Tom. I mean, I think the dirty little secret about the American, quote, recovery is that 41% of it over the last 3 years is led by a spectacular export boom coming out of America, going to the rest of the world. Well, as the boom drove things to the upside, now the global slowdown is going to drive things to the downside. In the absence of that export boom, our growth would not have been 2.4% over the last 3 years. It would have been 1.4.
Right.
And if exports go down, then we got, you know, even more serious.
And Sarah, you see this with the Willem Bouwer markdowns today at Citigroup. Those are big markdowns.
But Stephen, I mean, this is all ancient history, especially when you describe the euro and the whole idea of the Ponzi scheme. Now that they're in it and it's supposed to be irreversible, how do they get out of this mess?
The U.S. or Europe?
Europe.
There's
first.
No quick fix. There really isn't. Despite, you know, this, you know, glorious emotional manifesto that you read about today in the Financial Times by somebody who normally writes in the New York Times, that's another issue.
Did you just take a shot at Paul Krugman?
Who, me? No. The idea that you...
Roach takes a shot at Krugman.
And it's not over China. I know you fought with him over China.
That you can just, you know, switch your stripes from austerity to growth and breathe a big sigh of relief and therefore be proud of yourself that you've not repeated the mistakes of whatever the year he's looking at this time, 1937, 1933. I sort of lose sight of, you know, of the precedents that are being invoked by the highbrow academics. There's no quick fix for Europe. Europe is in a recession. And you don't want to deepen the recession.
Okay.
He's correct by turning the news too tightly. But you got to come up with an exit strategy.
Okay, well, let's come up with it. Stephen Roach with his folks, from formerly with Morgan Stanley, now at Yale University. If you were teaching at Yale this morning, what is your lecturing exit strategy? You got a piece of chalk in your hand. You got a chalkboard. They don't use chalk anymore?
They use smart boards.
Do you use chalk?
Use chalk.
Actually, I use white chalk once in a while.
Mm. One of the great conversations.
It must be a highbrow academic.
One of the great moments I ever had was Stanley Fisher, the governor of the Bank of Israel, explaining to me Paul Samuelson was so angry at him over something to do with theory.
He threw a piece of chalk at him.
Yeah, I know, ripped it out of his hand and threw it at him. What would be your to-do list for Chancellor Merkel today?
Look, Tom, one of the courses I do teach is called The Lessons of Japan. I teach that at Yale. It's an amazing course where we look at what happened in Japan and we try to infer the lessons for other economies, the U.S., Europe, and even, you know, my precious China. There are lots of similarities. There are lots of differences. But the final week of the course is the exit strategy, and Europe needs an exit strategy. I'm reading here this report by European Council Herman Van Rompuy, and it is the vaguest report for a region in crisis I have ever seen in my entire life. He talks about a vision. I mean, the guy's got sunglasses on. He can't see
right.
light of day.
This Victor is Wonder over here.
Today.
Look at this chart, folks. This is back to when Steve Roach, Victor, camera guy. Here we are, Japan, the boom of Japan, and there's a lost decade. They've gone nowhere.
Tom, they've had two lost decades.
Two lost decades.
And counting.
Okay, but I want to know what your solution is quickly right now, and we'll come back. What's your quick solution?
There is no quick fix.
Okay.
You market guys want, you know, easy answers, 1, 2, 3, get Europe out. Europe's in a recession. Europe is going to have a lost decade.
But interest rates, it can't make an economy go 7% on the Spanish 10-year yield. There is a bid to the screen. The market's doing a little bit better in the last half hour. Simon Kennedy joins us. He is our chief international economic correspondent. Simon, we talked to Jim Hertling earlier about what won't happen in Brussels today. Away from Brussels, what are you watching in Europe? Which nation has your focus?
Well, I think as with Brussels, you're looking to Germany again. There's signs there that its invincibility from this crisis is starting to wane. You saw some confidence data this morning. The question is, can the core remain safe from the crisis? And the more the core is infected, the more you might see internal pressure for a quicker fix than perhaps Angela Merkel is willing to consider at the moment.
Simon, you look at Germany and this discussion of ERP, this alphabet soup, ERF. Is there a program after ESM that they're trying to get to, or are they acronymed out?
Yeah, I'm sure they can always find acronyms. There's a whole wave of them in international finance. I'm sure there's still some available to them. But they're trying to get through the ESM. They want, I guess, to get to a crisis resolution. I'm not sure what the acronym for that would be. But they're hoping that the ESM will be a tougher, stronger firefighting infrastructure, and that through that they can provide support to the region and get beyond this crisis.
Well, Simon, we know that the average German doesn't want to put up any money here to help out Greece or Italy or Spain or anybody else. And we have a report today that unemployment has gone up in Germany for the fourth month this year. It's up to 6.8%. Is that just more pressure domestically on Angela Merkel?
Well, certainly it can could provide some impetus for actually for doing more to solve the crisis if Germans start to believe that that they're being infected. But there's, you know, Angela Merkel this week, she's maintained her position throughout on a lot of the things that economists and even some of the leaders are now pushing, Eurobonds, Eurobills and the like. And she wants kind of less debt sharing and more a responsibility. And so for the moment, she's maintaining her position. But certainly that's a harder position to maintain the more the crisis starts to undermine her own economy.
Now, Simon Kennedy, thank you so much. Our chief international economic correspondent, Stephen Roach, with us of Yale University. Steve, Bill Gross just publishes his monthly note at PIMCO, and he calls this an authentic debt crisis. We're feeling somewhat good in America, at least the elites and the educated in America. They're employed. Maybe there's some wage growth for part of America. When you define Gross's an authentic debt crisis, what does that phrase mean to you?
Well, I think Bill's right. I mean, I think the IMF pointed out about a year ago, Tom, that in 2010, debt to GDP ratios for the broad collection of all advanced economies exceeded 100% of their collective GDP for the first time since the end of World War II. So, Bill is really not telling us anything that we didn't know 15 months ago, but he's underscoring the point, and I give him credit for that.
He's also mentioned the word spiral. I want to go back again to the short-termism needed in Europe. What is the short-term, the immediate solution in Europe? Is it something as prosaic as bank deposit insurance, or could it be something more substantial?
Well, again, Tom, I'm not going to sort of buy into the fact that there's an easy fix, but, you know, the banking union through a common regulatory structure, through deposit insurance pan-regionally, those are important markers for Europe to put down immediately right now. And, going into this, what is it, Sarah's telling me, the 19th summit in 3 years, this is always the most important
this
one.
This is the most important one.
Of course, but they've got to be much more specific than this vision that was laid out by Herman Van Rompuy, which is a very disappointing vision lacking in meaningful detail.
Well, Stephen, this is supposed to be the most important summit.
They all
the
are,
other 18
Ken, right?
Didn't accomplish anything, and nobody we've talked to said that this one is going to accomplish anything.
Well, this is sort of a really appalling stream of efforts on the part of Europe. I can't remember, how many of these summits is always one that is eagerly looked to as the resolution, the significant breakthrough. And time and again, Ken, they don't give us details. And, the most appalling thing about this vision that was laid out in the speech by Van Rompuy is the final paragraph, next steps. He says, and I quote, a report could be submitted to the December European Council. Could. What's this guy thinking about?
I'm going to raise you one on that report. You're absolutely correct. This is from Roach's Morgan Stanley on the emerging markets. And, of course, this is the state of disunion asking an already fragile government to stretch its balance sheet to deliver that of its banks is tantamount to decapitalizing the government to recapitalize the banks. The backstory, decapitalizing.
Oh.
I don't know. It's a Morgan Stanley word.
I'm not with Morgan Stanley anymore.
I know, but my translation of this, Steve, is we're essentially moving money out of the left-hand pocket and we're putting it into the right-hand pocket. We're not getting much
done here. Tom. I think you're reading it pretty well.
No, but within the emerging market and Bowder's markdown of emerging market, this is becoming a global sag, not just a European sag.
Well, Tom, in a globalized, interconnected world, as I pointed out in something I wrote the other day, we're all in it together. So the idea that, one country can emerge as an oasis of prosperity is something I took a shot at.
Stephen Roach.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.